Princess Eggplant or Princess Aubergine. Part 1. Aubergine is deceived.
Welcome to the Fairy Tales of India, where we bring to you stories of kings and queens, of princes and fairies, and of crafty wizards and magical beasts. These are classic tales of adventure, magic and drama from India, brought to you in a new avatar by Gatha Story. To learn more, visit mythsandlegendsindia.com.
Once upon a time, there lived a poor Brahman and his wife, so poor that often they did not know where they would find their next meal. They were often reduced to eating wild herbs and roots for their dinner. Now one day, as the Brahman was gathering the herbs he could find in the wilderness, he came upon an aubergine or an eggplant. Thinking it might prove useful, he dug it up, took it home, and planted it by his cottage door. Every day he watered and tended it so that it grew wonderfully. At last the plant bore one large fruit as big as a pear. It was purple and white and glossy. Such a handsome fruit that the good couple thought it a pity to pick it. They let it hang on the plant day after day, until one fine morning, when there was absolutely nothing to eat in the house. Then the Brahman said to his wife, "We must eat the eggfruit. Go and cut it and prepare it for dinner." So the Brahman's wife took a knife and cut the beautiful purple and white fruit off the plant. And as she did so, she thought she heard a low moan. But when she sat down and began to peel the egg fruit, she heard a tiny voice say quite distinctly, "Take care. Oh, please take care. Peel more gently, or I'm sure the knife will run into me." The good woman was terribly confused, but went on peeling as gently as she could, wondering all the time what had bewitched the egg fruit. When she had cut quite through one side of the eggplant, what do you think happened? Why, out stepped the most beautiful little maiden imaginable, dressed in purple and white satin. The poor Brahman and his wife were mightily astonished, but still more delighted. They had no children of their own, and they looked on the tiny maiden as a godsend. They decided to adopt her. So they took the greatest care of her, petting and pampering her and always calling her the Princess Aubergine or Princess Eggplant. The worthy couple said that even though she was not really a princess, she was dainty and delicate enough to be any king's daughter. Now, not far from the Brahman's hut lived a king who had a beautiful wife and 7 stalwart young ones. One day, a servant from the palace happened to pass by the Brahman's cottage. He went to the Brahman's house and asked for a light. And there, she saw the beautiful aubergine. She went straight home to the palace and told her mistress, the queen, how in a small shack close by, there lived a princess, so lovely and charming. She warned that, were the king to set eyes on her, he would straightway forget not only his queen, but every other woman in the world. Now the queen, who was very jealous by nature, could not bear the idea of anyone being more beautiful than she was herself. She began to wonder how she could destroy the lovely aubergine. If she could only invite the girl into the palace, she could easily do the rest. In reality, the queen was a sorceress. And she was well versed in all sorts of magic. So she sent a message to aubergine through the servant. The message said that the fame of her great beauty had reached the palace, and the queen would like to see with her own eyes if report said was true. Now, lovely aubergine was unaware of her beauty and fell into the trap. She went to the palace, and the queen, pretending to be wonderstruck, said, "You were born to live in king's houses. From this time, you must never leave me. Henceforth, you are my sister." This flattered Princess Aubergine's vanity. So she remained in the palace and exchanged veils with the queen and drank milk out of the same cup with her, as is the custom when two people say they will be sisters. But the queen, from the very first moment she set eyes on her, had seen that Princess Aubergine was no human being, but a fairy. And it is well known that fairies and sorceresses alike hide their life in another being. The queen decided that the best way to eliminate the beautiful aubergine was to find her secret. But she knew that she must be very careful about how she set about her magic. Therefore, she laid strong spells upon aubergine while she slept and said, "Beautiful aubergine, tell me true, in what thing or being does your life lie?" And the princess answered in her slumber, "In the life of your eldest son. Kill him and I will die also." So the very next morning, the wicked queen went to where her eldest son lay sleeping and killed him with her own hands. Then she sent the servant to the princess's apartments, hoping to hear she was dead too. But the girl returned, saying the princess was alive and well. Then the queen wept tears of rage, for she knew her spells had not been strong enough, and she had killed her son for nothing. Nevertheless, the next night, she laid stronger spells upon the Princess Aubergine, saying, "Princess Aubergine, tell me true. In what thing does your life lie?" And the sleeping princess answered, "In the life of your second son. Kill him
and I too will die.
So the wicked queen killed her second son with her own hands. But when she sent the slave girl to see whether Aubergine was dead, the girl returned again, saying the princess was alive and well. Then the sorceress queen cried with rage and spite, for she had killed her second son for nothing. Nevertheless, she would not give up her wicked project. And the next night, laid still stronger spells on the sleeping princess, asking her, "Princess Aubergine, tell me true. In what thing does your life lie?" And the princess replied,
"Oh, in the life of your third son, kill him, and I must die also."
But the same thing happened. Though the young prince was killed by his wicked mother, Aubergine remained alive and well. And so it went on day after day, until all the seven young princes were slain, and their cruel mother still wept tears of rage and spite at having killed her seven sons for naught. Then the sorceress queen summoned up all her magic skills and laid such strong spells on the princess Aubergine that she could no longer resist them and was obliged to answer truly. So, when the wicked queen asked, "Princess Aubergine, tell me true, in what thing does your life lie?" This time, the poor princess was obliged to answer,
"In a river far away, there lives a red and green fish. Inside the fish, there is a bumblebee. Inside the bee, there is a tiny box. And inside the box is the wonderful necklace made of 9 jewels. Put it on and I shall die."
Then the queen was satisfied and set about finding the red and green fish. When her husband, the king, came to see her the next day, she began to sob and to cry until he asked her what the matter was. Then she told him that she had set her heart on procuring the wonderful necklace with 9 jewels. "But where is it to be found?" asked the king. And the queen answered in the words of Princess Aubergine, "In a river far away, there lives a red and green fish. Inside the fish, there is a bumblebee. Inside the bee, a tiny box. And in the box is a necklace." Now the king was a very kind man, and had grieved sincerely for the loss of his 7 young sons. The queen had lied to him and told him that their sons had died suddenly of an infectious disease. Seeing his wife so distressed and being anxious to comfort her, he gave orders that every fisherman in his kingdom was to fish all day until the red and green fish was found. So all the fishermen set to work, and before long, the queen's desire was fulfilled. The red and green fish was caught, and when the wicked sorceress opened it, there was the bumblebee, and inside the bee was the box, and inside the box the wonderful necklace, which the queen put on at once. So what happened when the queen put on the necklace? Before we get to that part, let us visit Princess Aubergine and her poor foster parents. Now, no sooner had the Princess Aubergine been forced to tell the secret of her life than she knew she must die. So she returned sadly to her foster parents' hut and, telling them of her approaching death, begged them neither to burn nor bury her body.
"This is what I wish you to do," she said. "Dress me in my finest clothes, lay me on my bed, scatter flowers over me, and carry me to the wildest wilderness. There you must place the bed on the ground and build a high mud wall around it so that no one will be able to see over."
And the very moment the wicked king put on the 9 jeweled necklace, Princess Aubergine died. Her poor foster parents, weeping bitterly, promised to do as she wished. So they dressed her in her best clothes, scattered flowers over the bed, and carried her out to the wildest wilderness. Now, when the queen sent the servant to the Brahmin's hut to inquire if Princess Aubergine was really dead, the girl returned, saying, "She is dead, but neither burnt nor buried. She lies out in the wilderness to the north, covered with flowers as beautiful as the moon." The queen was not satisfied with this reply, but as she could do no more, had to be content. Now the king grieved bitterly for his 7 young sons, and to try to forget his grief, he went out hunting every day. The queen feared that he might find the dead Princess Aubergine during one of his hunting expeditions. Therefore, she made him promise never to hunt towards the north. For, she said, "Some evil will surely befall you." But one day, having hunted to the east and the south and the west without finding game, he forgot his promise and hunted towards the north. In his wanderings, he lost his way and came upon a high mud wall with no door. He was curious to know what it had contained. He climbed over the wall. He could scarcely believe his eyes when he saw a lovely princess lying on a flower-strewn bed, looking as if she had just fallen to sleep. It seemed impossible she could be dead. So, kneeling down beside her, he spent the whole day praying and beseeching her to open her eyes. At nightfall, he returned to his palace. But when it was dawn, he took his bow and, dismissing all his attendants on the pretext of hunting alone, flew to his beautiful princess. So he passed day after day, kneeling distractedly beside the lovely Aubergine, beseeching her to rise. But she never stirred. Now, at the end of a year, he one day found the most beautiful little boy imaginable lying beside the princess. He was greatly astonished, but taking the child in his arms, cared for it tenderly all day, and at night laid it down beside its dead mother. After some time, the child learnt to talk, and when the king asked if its mother was always dead, it replied,
"No, at night she's alive and cares for me as you do during the day."
Hearing this, the king bade the boy ask his mother what made her die. And the next day the boy replied,
"My mother says it is the necklace made of 9 jewels your queen wears. At night, when the queen takes it off, my mother becomes alive again. But every morning, when the queen puts it on, my mother dies."
Now this greatly puzzled the king, who could not imagine what his queen could have to do with the mysterious princess. So he told the boy to ask his mother whose son he was. The next morning, the boy replied,
"Mother made me say I am your son, and I have been sent to console you for the loss of the 7 fair sons your wicked queen murdered out of jealousy of my mother, the lovely Princess Aubergine. Your wife killed them all."
Then the king grew very angry at the thought of his dead sons and bade the boy ask his mother how the wicked queen was to be punished. He also wanted to know by what means the necklace could be recovered. The next morning, the boy replied,
"Mother says I am the only person who can recover the necklace. So tonight, when you return to the palace, you should take me with you."
So the king carried the boy back to the palace and told all his ministers and courtiers that the child was his heir. On hearing this, the sorceress queen, thinking of her own dead sons, became mad with jealousy. She was determined to poison the boy. To this end, she prepared some tempting sweetmeats, and caressing the child, gave him a handful. She bid him to eat them. But the child refused, saying he would not do so until she gave him something to play with. "Name the toy you wish to play with, and I shall get it for you," said the queen. But the boy pointed his finger at the glittering necklace that she wore around her neck. The queen was determined to poison the boy, and seeing no other way of inducing him to eat the sweetmeats, she slipped off the necklace and gave it to the child. No sooner had he touched it than he fled away so fast that none of the servants or guards could stop him. He ran and ran and ran till he reached the place where the beautiful Princess Aubergine lay dead. He threw the necklace over her head, and immediately she rose up. She looked lovelier than ever. Then the king came and besought her to return to the palace as his bride. But she replied,
"I will never be your wife till that wicked sorceress is dead. She is a sorceress, and she would only murder me and my boy, as she murdered your 7 young sons."
"How do I make that happen?" asked the king. Aubergine replied,
"You must dig a deep ditch at the northwest corner of the palace. Then fill it with scorpions and snakes and throw the wicked queen into it. You must bury her alive. Only then will I be your wife."
So the king ordered a deep ditch to be dug and had it filled with scorpions and snakes. Then he went to the sorceress queen and bade her come to see something very wonderful. But she refused, suspecting a trick. Then the king ordered the guards to seize her and bound her. He flung her into the ditch amongst the scorpions and the snakes and buried her alive with them. As for Princess Aubergine, she returned to the palace and lived happily with the king ever after.
Thank you for listening to this awesome story from Fairy Tales of India. You can listen to many such stories in English, Hindi, and soon in many other languages. To learn more, visit mlftpodcast.in.
The story was narrated by Shirali Biju for Fairy Tales of India and has been produced by Gatha Stories.